This section started a little bit late because of some technical issues to set up the slideshow, everything. But we have our last speaker. And join me to welcome Mr. Bruno Hartner. Right. To give the talk on the quantum thread. I want to make sure that we do give 24 minutes to his presentation. So our lunch may be a little bit delayed. So don't have to compete with a long line over there, right? There's an advantage for that.
Okay.
The floor is yours.
Okay, thank you. So the, I'm happy to be here, and also specifically happy to be after Michele, because then a big part of my presentation has been done very, very well. So quantum threat, I think you know everything now, and I can focus more on the quantum solution. Brief outline of what I want to say is, I think I will skip actually the presentation of ID Quantique because you're probably, I'm the only person being between now and your lunch, so let's try and make it quick. So I will very quickly speak about the quantum threat and really focus all along on what kind of solution quantum mechanics can also give us. Obviously, remembering that we are not talking not to a physicist audience, but more computer scientists. So, the quantum threat, and that's really my only slide about that because you had so many on this one. The quantum threat is really showing that from a castle we had, which can be attacked, the quantum threat will really ruin the castle and get really to something. Our infrastructure will be totally destroyed by the quantum computer, our current infrastructure. So we really have to find new solutions. And obviously, as Michele mentioned, we have a quantum-resistant algorithm. What I really want to focus in my talk is the other kind of solution, which is quantum key distribution, quantum cryptography, how to use quantum mechanics to go back to something we had before. So what kind of solutions would quantum mechanics give us? I think it's important to speak about this first one, which is really key generation. Key generation relies on random numbers, and the only true source of randomness in the world is really quantum mechanics. So I'm not going to spend too much time on this one because it's not the main focus, but still it's interesting to see how would quantum mechanics give you these random numbers. I put here a very, very simple explanation. If you have a source of single photons, these photons arriving at a splitter will go one way or another. And what quantum mechanics tells us in a very precise manner is that there is nothing in the photon which tells you which way it will go. It's totally random. There is no way, there is no hidden variable, nothing in the photon will tell you if this particular photon will go one way or another. So the way it goes up or straight is actually totally random, and by measuring the photon one way or another, you really get random numbers. And I think these random numbers can be used very well to increase the safety of any kind of cryptographic system. So you don't have to do QKD, you don't have to do even post-quantum. Any kind of cryptographic system will benefit by having a good source of randomness, and quantum mechanics is the best available source of randomness. I can add that this looks big on my screen here, but it can be actually made very, very small. We have some kind of hand-sized system, and we will go down to some size or even smaller sizes on very small chips that can be put in any kind of computer, or any kind of computing device, really. So quantum mechanics can help you create randomness, which you can use then in any kind of cryptographic system. What else can quantum mechanics give you? And obviously now we are really in the main part of my talk, which is a quantum key distribution. So in order to understand quantum key distribution, let's go back to really the basic idea. So the framework we have here is a symmetric crypto. Alice wants to send something to Bob. You encrypt, and you use a secret key on both sides, the same secret key to encrypt and to decrypt the message she wants to send. And quantum key distribution is very simple. It's just telling you how you can distribute this key. The quantum key distribution is really a way to take the secret key from one side and have it at the other side at the same time. The big advantage, so here it's just a very simple picture. How do you do that? The key is sent through a quantum channel. Normally it's an optical fiber, but it's done in such a way that any attempt to look at the key will destroy it, will change it. And this is why I put here these soap bubbles. Every time you want to look at a soap bubble, you actually destroy it. So that's just a way to see things. If Eve tries to intercept the key, the bubbles will explode. Let's try to go a little bit further to explain a bit more what it is really about. So let's take my quantum channel, and I send these single photons. You remember I discussed the single photon just a few slides ago. And I send this single photon from Alice to Bob, and Eve is trying to intercept them. So let's try the simplest way you can intercept. As before, you put a kind of splitter, and you take some of the light you try and get out for Eve. Classically, it's very easy to do, and you can get perfect information. If you use single photons, obviously we're back to what I showed a few slides earlier. If the photons go towards Eve, it doesn't go towards Bob. Which means at this point that if you use single photons and Eve is only trying to get a few out of them, you realize immediately that she gets no information, no value at all from this. Because wherever she uses the tapping, the photon goes to her and not to Bob and will not be used to make a key. So that's I think it helps understanding really why a quantum system, a single photon, is helpful in this case. Of course, Eve can be a bit more clever, and she doesn't just tap some photons, but she can try to interact a little bit without taking them out. Okay, so she tries a kind of interaction. I show here what it does. So the arrows represent the state of the photon. It doesn't matter what it is. This photon goes through Eve's system and then go out. And then quantum mechanics tells you that any attempt of finding out what's going through, any attempt of measuring the photon, getting some information, will change the state. And that's what I wanted to show on the slide by showing that the arrows have moved a little bit. So she cannot just tap the system because she doesn't get any information. She can try to modify a bit to try and get some. She doesn't try to modify. She can try to get some information, but in this case, she modifies the system a bit, and this is what Alice and Bob will find out with this service channel. The relation between how much information she can get and how much disturbance she creates is really given by quantum mechanics. And we do have a proof of security in the sense that we know exactly how much disturbance is introduced versus how much information she can get. This is really a quantum mechanics calculation. This is the only quantum mechanics calculation we have in the whole system. Now, if there are some disturbances, these can be found by the service channel. Alice and Bob will have to talk to one another in order to find out that there were some disturbances, and by doing that, they can find out that Eve was eavesdropping or not. So, it's very important to remember, a quantum key distribution system is both a quantum channel and the service channel which allows the discussion afterwards, which has to be authentified. So it's not something which is only the quantum channel, but it really needs also classical calculation. I don't want to scare you with that. If you want to implement quantum key distribution, you don't really have to worry about that. All the discussions and everything is done automatically. Alice and Bob can connect with the quantum channel, prepare also this classical channel, and then the system automatically find out how many errors and can this way create a secret key, which the user doesn't have to do anything about that. So what are the pros and cons on quantum key distribution? The first thing is really it's based on a totally different principle than the calculation. And it's based on physics, so it brings a new possibility to do cryptography. It is not impacted by the quantum computer at all. You see, there is no computation here at all. Of course, the quantum computer will have an importance with the other cryptographic things we need to do once we finish key distribution. As I explained, you can have provable security here in the transmission of the key, because we know exactly the amount of information versus the amount of disturbance, and from that we can afterwards lower the amount of information which gives us to any value we want by using privacy amplification. So we know exactly what's going on, and you can know that you cannot prevent eavesdropping, but you know if there is eavesdropping, and you can work on that to reduce the information to any level you want. Another, I think, very important advantage is the fact that eavesdropping is possible only during the time you make the transaction. If Alice sends a public key to Bob in order to allow them afterwards to do exchange, the public key at the same moment is getting to Eve. And Eve can store it and take any time she wants to decrypt it later. And once she does it, she has all the information she needs. She has all the transaction between Alice and Bob later. In this case, if Eve does not attack the key at the moment of the transaction, there is nothing she can do about it later. Last, and I think it's also very important to remember, and I will show you in the next slide, QKD is not an either-or. It's not something that you say, okay, I do QKD and I don't do anything else. You can really add it as an extra layer of security to your transaction. Unfortunately, we also have some cons, and as I showed earlier, the main worry here is that you need a physical infrastructure in order to do QKD. You need to send photons from Alice to Bob, and therefore we have a limited distance between Alice and Bob due to loss, for example. And that's the main limitation of QKD today, that you can do hundred kilometers, let's say. You can do thousands as it is now, and I will go back to that in a moment. And of course, we also have to realize it's only part of the solution. We talk about quantum cryptography, but really it's quantum key distribution. The rest, all the rest, is classical, standard cryptography. Okay? And we have to use all kinds of cryptographic tools in order to get a really secure implementation. You cannot just use QKD and say, oh, that's it. QKD is part of the solution. So it will be more complicated and costly to implement, but we believe it's also interesting in some cases, and that's what I want to show you now, how to use it in the real world. As I said, we have already gone from some kind of physics experiment where we can show that in principle we distribute keys to some real systems where you don't have to worry about what you have your boxes, and they automatically do that for you. How do you put these boxes into your system? So how can you really use QKD in the real world? And that's what I want to spend the last of my talk discussing. What I want to show by this slide is really that you shouldn't put QKD everywhere. What you have different types of link, and different types of link require different levels of security. I think it's clear from the different roles we have here. On some of the links you will have a lot of information, maybe very, very confidential information. And for this link you would like to get the best security possible. For some other links, for example, between your computer and the data center, maybe it's not that bad. You can use different levels of security. And so you should be careful to implement QKD where you need it. How to do that? We can use QKD as an add-on, as I said before. This is a totally standard system where you got an encryptor, and you use this encryptor for transmitting information. The encryptor have this public key agreement followed by the session key agreement. You know how it works, probably better than I do, and this works fine. Now, on this particular structure, you can simply add QKD in order to add some extra level of security. You do not have to change the infrastructure below it. You just add the QKD to ensure to get better security than you had before. What is nice here is that if you do that, you don't even have to change your requirement. For example, if your system was FIPS certified without QKD, it will still be certified the same way, and you just add the security of quantum key distribution. How to use it? Our typical use case is really a link between two important places. And an example today would be a data center. So if you have two data centers with about 100 kilometers between them, you can easily add a QKD link between them in order to have better security between these elements. And of course, you still use whatever kind of cryptography you want for the rest of your network. So that's our typical case today. These examples are really to show you that you can use QKD today in order to improve your security, and it's practical. Now, what I want to finish now is how to get further, because that's a bit restricted. This is what you do today, and of course, we got all this limitation. So let's go forward in the future a bit and see what can we get with our QKD. How can we introduce it to broader scale system? The first thing we can do is to add trusted nodes. So I told you that a link is about 100 kilometers. If you want to go further, you need some kind of repeater. So these repeaters are called trusted nodes because at each of these trusted nodes, the key will appear in the open. So you really have to trust that the key will not leak from the trusted node to anywhere. And that's a limitation. But if you do that, you can extend the distance. And this is the example for what we are doing in the UK with British Telecom on what is called the Quantum Communication Hub. We're now building a system which will make a QKD link between Adastral Park on the coast towards Cambridge University. And there are plans to expand that afterwards. This is just a small-scale implementation of about something like a few hundred kilometers, even less. But the Chinese have done much, much better. They have already implemented a 2,000-kilometer-long link using many of these trusted nodes in order to have a quantum key distribution system from Beijing to Shanghai. And this is already, I'm not sure it's already working, but they're really in the final stages of making this work. So you can easily make this. However, remember, we still have the issue of the trusted nodes. How can we go even further? If we want to go to longer distances, and especially if we want to cross oceans and so on, then we can go to satellite. So it's exactly the same principle. It's trusted node, but instead of having a fixed trusted node, the trusted node is a satellite which rotates, orbits around the Earth, and basically transports the key anywhere you want. The satellite itself can do that. And if you calculate the trajectory on when it's above different countries, you say that within a day or so, the satellite, a polar orbit, will cover actually all the Earth. So it's rather easy to transfer the keys from any point to any point on Earth within one day or so. Again, this is an idea. Our Chinese colleagues have moved on that very fast, and they have already sent the first quantum key distribution satellite in 2016. In Europe, we are working on this. The European Space Agency has now started some projects. And at ID Quantic, we also have a project for a quantum key distribution satellite. We are just starting now. We still have the trusted node issue here. Instead of having a trusted node on Earth, we now have it in space, but we still have to trust the satellite. And maybe we want to get rid of that, and it's possible, actually. The way to do that is to replace this trusted node with quantum memory. So I'm not going to discuss all that in details because it would take too long, but the basic idea is that if you can store quantum states in quantum memories, you can make an overall system where you store the states everywhere. You need connections between some of the main nodes, but you could even bring the quantum state physically with planes or truck or whatever you want. And then anybody who would like keys would just go to the nearest big center, get some keys there, and another guy at the other end of the world could get to another center, and then they could communicate together secretly by using these keys. And if you use quantum memories, the centers will not know anything about the keys anymore. So you can keep the same kind of structure but remove the trust. The centers with these memories do not need to be trusted anymore. So you can really build an overall infrastructure with this kind of system without trusting each node to keep the secret on the key. They don't have any secret on the key. And that, of course, is for the future. However, a quantum memory is a basic building block for a quantum computer. So since many, many people are working on quantum computers now, we do believe that within 5 to 10 years, probably 5 years at the maximum, there will be suitable quantum memories where you can easily store quantum state, recover them, manipulate them, and so on, because you can do that at a single qubit level. You don't need to untangle all these things together. You just need put a qubit in a memory, retrieve it at some stage, make it interact, of course, with one other qubit, and that's it. You don't need this very large entanglement that you need for a quantum computer. And that could well be, let's say, the infrastructure of the future if you really want to have a secure distribution. To conclude, in a few words, what I wanted to say is that the quantum computer has taken something of our cryptographic infrastructure, but we can use quantum mechanics to give it back. Of course, it's a kind of joke here, but I think it helps to understand that there are many ways to get security, and quantum mechanics is one way to get back to security which has been challenged by the quantum computer. So that's it for now, and if you have any question, I'll be happy to answer.
Any questions? This is a very fruitful thought. So with that, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And the section in the afternoon begins at 1:20.